This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Robert, episode number 18 for July 21st, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to another edition of Living the RV Dream. I am your host, Traveling Robert, and as always, this episode is sponsored by Rad Power Bikes. And today we have a pretty long interview that I don't want to interrupt, so let me tell you about Rad Power Bikes right off the bat. In case you don't know, they are an electric bike manufacturer and they offer direct-to-consumer pricing on their powerful premium electric bikes. So visit RadPowerBikes.com or call 1-800-939-0310 to learn more about their models or to place an order. They are offering, by the way, free shipping in all four models. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes. And if you click that link, if you go through there, they know that I sent you. And that would be really cool if you did that. Let me tell you, today I'm going to interview James Willock. And he has a YouTube channel. He documents his travels on his van. And his YouTube channel is Wanderlust Estate. And I'm going to put links to that also in the show notes, which are at travelingrobert.com/podcast/0018. And now, without further ado, here's James Willock, Wanderlust Estate. Well, today we are chatting with James Willock, and his everybody knows him as Wanderlust Estate in YouTube. And I want to introduce you to him. Hello, James. How are you?
Hello. How's it going, everybody? Hope you guys are having a fantastic day out there.
Yes, we are. It's very hot in Miami. Where are you, by the way, in the United States? I know you have a nomadic lifestyle.
Yeah, so right now I'm in Aberdeen, Washington. It's one of the most temperate climates in the United States this time of year. It doesn't get all that cold. It doesn't get all that hot. So a high temperature day is about 82 here. That's a hot day. And, a cold night this time of year is, pretty good sleeping weather, about 54 degrees.
Oh, that's awesome for this time of the year. So you are chasing that perfect 75 degree weather whenever you can, huh?
Yeah. I like it for sure. So just got back from the beach over here in Ocean Shore. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, but I bet that the water is cold even at this time of the year, right? On the Pacific.
Yeah, it was a little too cold to swim yet. I went and I waded in it a little bit and I was like, maybe not in the late afternoon.
No. All right, man. But let me ask you, how did you start this nomadic lifestyle that you live? What compelled you to travel the country?
So basically, I've always really enjoyed traveling. Okay, and back when I started, I went through an illness. So I had always really worked a lot. I didn't really do much but work. Sometimes I'd have 2-3 jobs. Like my background is in biochemistry, and so I had that job. And then I also sold real estate on the side, and I had rental properties and stuff. And so I was constantly busy working, and very rarely could I ever get away from it just because of the nature of the kind of work I did. And I ended up getting diagnosed with a malignant neuroendocrine tumor in 2010. And, after a couple of days of, being like, wow, I was told I had about an 18% chance to survive, I stopped worrying about the fact that I may die, and I started getting so angry that I had never, ever really done any of the things that were on my bucket list. And so I was so mad at myself that I'd wasted, and at that time it felt like I'd wasted all of this time in my life, right? Mm-hmm. Working when that's not that they weren't even necessarily my ambitions and my passion. Right. And so I was looking and trying to decide, how can I get it so that I can fund a lifestyle of travel, which is what I really wanted to be out there doing. And, you know, I happened to be watching, because I'm kind of a little bit of a dork. I was on YouTube and I was watching documentaries on ancient Rome, right? And I don't know what happened, but Living Free on YouTube, he's my friend now. His name's Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
And he a video in the suggested videos on the side popped up and it said, I finally did it. Living 100% of the time in my van now. And I watched him for about 9 months, right? And I was thinking to myself, could I make the transition? Could I live in a van? Because I could definitely see how that would make it so much cheaper to be able to travel. And I dwelled on it for a while. I ended up getting rid of the Lexus and the $500 a month car payment I had, and I bought myself a van. And then it was another 3 or 4 months, not just because of savings, like part I took that time and I saved, but during that period I was just debating, can I really do this? And so I would take nights and I'd go out to Walmart or whatever in the middle of Houston and see if I could sleep in the van, you know. And I decided that it was possible and that I really wanted to do that. And so I got a few thousand dollars together and I took off in that van. I didn't know I was going to keep wanting to do it. So I didn't spend a lot of money on setting it up. I just had my bare minimums, made sure I had a generator, AC and that kind of thing. And I just did it. And, I absolutely loved it. It was probably the best time in my entire life, that first van trip. And now I'm hooked. I'm an addict. I'm a travel addict.
Wow. So Mike was the instigator to all this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Maybe I can chat with him later to get his perspective too. That first trip, where did you go on that first trip?
Well, that first trip, I started off out of Houston. I went up through Oklahoma City, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, crossed over through the Dakotas. I went into Yellowstone and,
oh, wow.
And you know, I went back out to Washington. I hit a couple of national parks there. And then I went into Vancouver, Canada, back down the Oregon, Washington, and California coastline, and finished it off heading back out through Arizona and New Mexico back to Texas.
No wonder you love that trip, man. You went to so many cool places. I would tell you, just the California coast and Yellowstone. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 11,000 some odd mile, almost 12,000 mile trip, and I did it in 111 days. You know, it was amazing to have just 111 days of freedom. And now it's about getting back to that for me. Mm-hmm. All the time.
Yeah, man. Most people only have 1 or 2 weeks at the most to especially in the United States. In other countries, they have more. But to be able to travel, you know, without those time constraints, that must be awesome. Your rig, you're back in a van. We know why you chose originally a van, because of you watched Mike and all that. And I know for a while you were also in a class in two class A's, actually. You had that classic the classic GMC 1975, was it?
And then 76,
and then you had a larger one. What are your thoughts? Do you still prefer a van or the trade off from the mobility against the comforts of a Class A? What are your thoughts?
In my opinion, now that I've gone back to a van and I've been in a van for, you know, a couple months now again. I would say that perfect world for me would actually be probably a Class B. So I really like the fully contained thing that you get from an RV. But I absolutely hate finding parking. I hate trying to take an RV into any of the national parks or any of these kind of places. I really didn't like towing, you know, because I towed a car behind a Class A as well. And, you know, the ideal thing to me, I really think, is a wide body, because I'm kind of a wide body. Class B van, you know, that would be the ideal thing for me. And, and, it's kind of on my radar. My primary objective really is the travel though, but it would definitely be the class, wide body Class B for me.
Yeah. I think that's like the, one of the perfect compromise, because you can just stop anywhere serendipitously. Sometimes, you know, I tow a short trailer. It's only 19 feet long, but still I cannot just, if I pass through a town, I cannot just parallel park anywhere and explore. And
are you planning
on switching to a real Class B, or are you going to build up your own van as you go along?
So I was thinking I would build this van, but I don't know. There's just something that I'm not feeling it for this van. You know, I would have liked it to have been a little longer than it than it was, because I was kind of in a hurry when I bought this. Yeah. And I've been looking at it more and more in... Sorry about the...
Yeah, I was going to tell you. But
but after I've been in it a little longer and stuff now, you know, I think what I want to do is I want to put some money together and go back to doing the RV thing, but I want to make sure I'm small enough that I can get away with a city parking space.
Yeah. Maybe you can, maybe something like a 23 or 25 footer with a wide body. Maybe even a small Class C. I've seen some Class C's that are very, very maneuverable.
I was thinking about something 24 feet just to start off with, because they're much cheaper than the Class B's. And then, you know, I'd probably go back, you know, after that a while, put some more money away, and then I'll probably get myself a Class B that's lower in miles, you know, that I can keep a while.
What do you like the most about RV life?
Oh, that's a good one. What I like most about it.
Because later I'm going to ask you, what do you dislike the most? So...
I think what I like the most about RV life is, you know, it's nice to still feel like you have a place, a home, right? And the thing about RVing is you can go and you can travel and you can travel long term, and you still have that like feeling of coming to a home, right? That you're not going to get for if you're going to hotels, or you're not going to get if you're tent camping with a backpack or something like that. And you know, it's the familiarity and having all those creature comforts. That's what I think I like the best about it.
To me, it's having my own bathroom, for example.
That's the most important amenity. All the others you can forego, right?
Man. And what's the thing that you dislike the most, if there's such a thing?
I think it's starting to die, but I still think that there's a little bit of a stigma with people that are RVing and stuff. There's a little stigma about it, especially those of us that do it full time. You know, a lot of people have this attitude of like, sometimes that maybe RVers, or especially full time RVers, are kind of a lower rung on the society ladder. And, you know, so you have to deal a little bit with that. I think that's the thing that I probably like the least, but it's pretty much tied to, on RVs, there's always something breaking.
Yeah, that's true. even the new ones, I bought mine brand new, and there are all kinds of loose screws everywhere. It's like there's all, and my water heater, but that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, I know, right? That's a different video. But,
yeah, that's a whole different video. What's the thing that you found the most surprising or unexpected?
I think it's the number of people doing it.
Yeah, right.
I was actually astonished, you know, especially if you go into like the more really beautiful places. It's like and you go and you stop by a Walmart, say like Flagstaff, right?
Right.
And you go by a Walmart and there's 30 other RVers chilling out there for the night before they continue their trip. And I never realized how huge it was. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of work camping, and just the fact that there's this entire, there's this entire like secondary, almost a secondary economy built around the RVers, you know, mm-hmm. it's really getting big.
No, definitely. And when you are not RVing, you don't realize it because you it's not like in your radar. I didn't know there was a campground here, or I didn't know that people would stay at Walmarts. That kind of thing is definitely not in your radar when you're not RVing. You talked about work camping. You're supporting yourself by working on the road. Have you found it difficult to find work, or what do you usually do?
I find it difficult to find good paying work, mm-hmm. but work itself is a piece of cake. Like mm-hmm. I right now, especially now that I have, I've done work camping and I've also done day labor, like ultra temp service mm-hmm. type stuff. And now that I have a good reputation with a nationwide temp service, I can land down in a town as long as they have an office, right? And I can show up in the morning, and if I'm not out to work that morning, I will be the next day.
Yeah, so there's no reason to be sitting at home. There's always something. Have you done Amazon or the Beet Harvest or any of those? Yeah,
I did the Beet Harvest. I've had a bad experience at the Beet Harvest.
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
I had a much worse one mm-hmm. than me. The operator was really harassing her. But, we had a really extremely bad experience. It's mm-hmm. like abnormally bad. The Beet Harvest is going to be dirty. It's going to be smelly.
It's really cold up there too, right?
Yeah. It can be cold. It's at least a little cold, and it can be outright freezing, mm-hmm.
it's North Dakota, you know.
yeah, exactly. And it's late fall, you know, in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. So it can be good, downright cold, but it can be pleasant as well. Temperatures that time of year there in North Dakota. It's a real mixed bag. You don't know what to expect. The earning potential is pretty good for a couple there that time mm-hmm. of year, especially if you have the ability to drive truck. It's not unheard of to go there on a decent season in 2-3 weeks. You know, a couple can make $5,000 to $7,000 if the season's good. Like if they don't get a lot of work stoppages, so that mm-hmm. it extends out the season and whatnot. Yeah. You know, if you're up that way, it's great. If you're coming from clear across the country, like when I did it, it's not as good.
Yeah. You spend half the money just in gas getting there, because it's really way out there. I thought about doing it at some point, and I'm like, no, I'm going to waste half of the money just driving from Florida. So, yeah. And I hear they're getting a little more stricter. Like you have to have like a self-contained RV, and they prefer if you're like in a couple. That's what I've heard, that they're getting a little more strict in that sense. I don't know.
They basically have gotten a little bit. They want a self-contained RV, but they do take people that aren't. It's just that they need more people than they have campgrounds for.
Right. Okay. And you did Amazon as well. Did you like Amazon or?
Yeah.
That's a better one.
I was really concerned about doing Amazon. I heard a lot of bad things about Amazon, mm-hmm. right? And really, I didn't mind Amazon. The work is very, very mind-numbing.
I can imagine.
I was a picker, and I ran around a gigantic warehouse up and downstairs, pulled stuff off shelves and shit. And a little scanner in my hand was my boss telling me where to go.
I hear you get a pretty good workout though, running up and down.
Yeah, I lost a lot of weight. I lost a lot of weight at that time.
If anything for that long, that might be worth it. Okay, as we start wrapping this up, man, what's your favorite place that you have ever been in the United States? I know that's a tough question.
Yeah.
Because there's many places, but...
Yeah, there's so many that I've really loved. If I have to pick one single place, it's going to be Yellowstone. Yellowstone is just, it's just a very special place. It's a very special section of land. You know, there's so many different things going on there, you know, when it comes to geology and this kind of thing. It's a very, very interesting place. And like I said, astonishing beauty. I mean, there, I've found some places that rivaled it for beauty, but they only had one kind of beauty, where Yellowstone has multiple.
Wow. I haven't been, so bucket list for me. And what is that place that everybody said you have to go here? And when you went there, we're like, oh, meh, not really. That kind of disappointed you, not in a bad way, but that didn't live up to the hype, I would say.
What didn't live up to the hype? Let me think here. You know, I did like San Francisco, but, you know, I heard about how beautiful and how great and everything San Francisco was and this and that and that and this. And I do admit it, it's a pretty city. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's organized in a pretty way. And, you know, they got plenty of parks and stuff, and there's a lot of good things to say about it, but it's just, it's overrated. I mean, it's nice, but, and I'm glad I went, but you know, it definitely didn't live up to my expectations.
No, I like it in the sense that it is unique with the steep hills and, you know, the setup of the city in many ways. But it could, some areas can be kind of dirty. I mean, I know what you mean.
Yeah, like for instance, it's a pretty city, but I think Vancouver, British Columbia, and Seattle are prettier.
I haven't been there, so, but yeah. Cool, man. Any advice for prospective RVers? Any last words as we wrap this up?
Full timers or weekend warriors or?
Oh, man. All of them. Any?
I would say right away, start researching if being in parks is important to you, start researching some of the clubs that you can get in to whack away at your daily, nightly fees, because when you're doing it without one of those clubs, you're easily spending 2 to 3 times what it costs. And that gets kind of exorbitant. And make sure you check out the websites out there that allow free camping out there, because there's some really nice free camp spots. Yeah,
like
freecampsites.net
or Allstays.
Freecampsites.net, Campendium. You know, there's another one that I use. Can't think of the name right now of it. Also, RV spaces, you know, I think it's, I can't remember the actual brand name because it's one that came later, but it's one where a lot of folks that are RVers are actually open up their property to other RVers to stay for
night. There's Boondockers Welcome, isn't it? One of them.
Yeah, Boondockers Welcome.
There's a bunch of them. I'm gonna put links in the show notes and the video description to all these places,
and
so you guys can check them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, the last one's a lot of fun because you get to meet other RVers when you're out there.
Yeah. Have you done that a couple of times?
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool, man.
Did that a couple of times.
Well, James, thank you so much for the interview and for talking to our listeners and our viewers, because we are both we are simulcasting here, and I really hope to meet you on the road sometime.
Absolutely. Anytime, Robert. When we get in the same neck of the woods, you know, seems like we're always on the opposite side of the country. I was in Florida when you were in Cali.
Hey, where are you going next, by the way? Are you coming to Florida anytime soon?
I'm thinking I might spend the latter part of winter out in Florida. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of thinking I'm going to do Quartzsite in January, and then I'm going to head out towards Florida.
Cool,
that's
man.
What I'm thinking.
Cool, man. Maybe we'll bump into each other at some point around there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, man.
I'll get you put together with Mike. So
okay,
you can chat sometime with the guy that kind of got me in accidentally.
And I want to get me one of your stickers, the new one.
Okay, as soon as I get them up.
All right, man. All right, thanks. See you on the road, man.
Talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, it was awesome talking to James Wanderlust Estate in YouTube. I'll put links to his YouTube channel and his Facebook and all that in the show notes. And next week, I'm going to talk to Mike. Well, we did an interview right after James, but I'm going to play it next week. And he's another nomad. He used to be a van dweller, and now he travels in a truck camper. Very cool. But it was very cool talking to James Wanderlust Estate, a very down-to-earth, very authentic guy, and he has a very nice philosophy about life and everything else. And that about wraps it up for this episode of the podcast. See you all next week, and as always, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road.